Aztlan is said to be an island north of Mexico, the mythical land of the Aztecs' ancestors. Nobody knows for sure if it existed or not. It was said to be a utopia that was sometimes plagued by evil kings, a land of abundance and of strife, of mystery and of the mundane. So it's fitting that the collection that we're going to be discussing today is known as the Aztlan Collection. I mean, it's a pretty interesting little bit of... Just take a look. By all accounts, these are not stone. These are geopolymer, that is man-made stone that is separate from concrete. Using aluminosilicate, a compound of aluminum, geopolymers are considered more environmentally friendly than cement and are gaining popularity in modern applications. But these geopolymers are unique. Their chemical structure is far different than the geopolymers we know today. And, of course, there's the engravings, which, I mean, let's face it, these are so uncanny, so dead on the nose, it's can be difficult to take these seriously if you're skeptical of this sort of thing at all. But we do have some science that was recently done. That gives us something to sink our teeth into that's not just an emotional reaction. So let's go ahead and jump on into the science side of this and see what we got. Hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. Well, right off the bat, let's just state the obvious. This looks alien. I mean, so obviously alien that even the paper's author starts it off like, "The collection serves as a unique anthropological record of extraterrestrial paleocontact, evidenced by explicit iconographic narratives." Now, this is going to separate people into two camps immediately, the believers and the skeptics. I mean, again, these are pretty dang uncanny. So, for myself, those of you who watch me a lot, you know I'm going to fall on the skeptical side of these things. Which is no surprise to you, and is no surprise to the paper's authors. By labeling the assemblage as illicit forgeries based on visual inspection alone, a significant gap was created in the scientific literature regarding the artifact's true complexity. Now this makes sense. I mean, this shit is uncanny. But before we go on, I want to show you a few other uncanny images. This is real, as is this. Most of you have seen these before. And this is why we use science to determine truth from fiction as best as we can. A knee-jerk reaction isn't going to get us there, all right? And now, let's be clear. The paper's author is obviously a true believer, but the implications of what he has to say is pretty profound. The goal of this research is to investigate the geopolymer hypothesis as a primary indicator of authenticity. In order to properly evaluate this paper, we need to have a basic understanding of geopolymers. Now, only discovered in the last 50 years or so, or perhaps rediscovered, geopolymers are a type of artificial stone kind of like concrete or ceramics, based on a chemical bond that forms tight pairings between the atoms. The result is a strong, strangely stone-like material that is similar but distinct from concrete. Aluminosilicates are bonded using acid or alkaline solutions, the most common example of this being the base stone material that they use to make porcelain, combined with water glass, a substance well known for its ability to form strong, stone-like chemical bonds for almost two centuries now. While the overall production process is inorganic, some organic compounds can find their way into the mixture, which is what is claimed to have happened with the artifacts in question. Still new and still experimental, there are all manner of applications for geopolymers and more becoming available all the time. In many ways, they seem to be a very promising technology for modern humans. In fact, the geopolymers are the most interesting part of the paper to me. These are low-temperature ceramics, and they have a lot of iron and copper in them, as well as the normal aluminum. And there's a lot of unique features about these that are, well, frankly, since it's a new technology, it's worth looking into, right? And these artifacts are especially interesting in the fact that they have large inclusions, sometimes organic, sometimes crystalline, sometimes iron. And these impurities are visible on them from the outside. Now, the use of iron is interesting and probably worthy of research for modern applications, I would imagine. But there's a lot going on with these. For example, the way that they form ends up making a rind, kind of like maybe like gravy does if you just leave it out for a while, or cheese. But there's a hard enamel on these when they're done that's harder than the interior. And while it has the same overall chemical composition, it's not the same ratio. It has the same compounds, but not in the same ratio from the enamel to the inside. So it's like there's this settling that forms The paper claims that this is a chemical process that caused that, which is possible, but it's also possible, like I say, it's just like cheese just sitting out to dry, right? You just get a rind on it. At any rate, what's very interesting is that the paper discusses the stylus used to make those fine engravings that depict all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, the paper says that that was done while it was drying. In the context of geopolymer rheology, this profile indicates the engraving stylus was applied to the material during the gel stage of polycondensation. Now, this seems very strange to me and worthy of further investigation. Some of the images clearly show what a stylus was applied when it was wet. It has these raised edges and lips on the side that look, that makes the most sense. But other images show that those same engravings have pieces around them that are flaked off, that look like a tool was applied and they were chipped and carved out, and the little imperfections happened here and there. So maybe both. Maybe some of these are old carvings and some of these are new. That's actually something we will revisit as we talk about these, because that makes a lot of sense if you think about this. Now, I have handled a number of these artifacts in the past. An owner of several of them, Mike Forrest, who runs the Alien Carvings website, lives not far from me, and he actually asked me to evaluate these. And I told him it was going to be a hot minute because I do get a bunch of this kind of stuff sent to me all the time. People all the time ask me to evaluate their papers, their ideas, their stuff. He asked if he could be moved up the list giving me some money. And so we agreed to that. So full disclosure, I have been paid to make this video. But also full disclosure, as you just saw with the discussion of the stylus, he does not get to purchase my end results. And this is no way, shape, or form going to contaminate what I tell you about the things. It just gets to put him further up in the queue, right? So anyway, having said that, it's important to note that a lot of these pieces that I have handled, they were hard. They had these inclusions that were in them, and some of those are organic. Some of those had stuff that, according to the paper, they were able to carbon date, which is kind of nice. The artifacts seem to have deliberately incorporated the organics, as the pieces have inclusions. That's those veins of material running through them that I mentioned earlier. And some of those are, in fact, organic. These all test to about 8,600 years ago, and the tests were performed at the University of Georgia Center for Applied Isotope Studies, the samples themselves collected by the paper's author, a research scientist named Trevor Hawk. The age of these artifacts is interesting as hell, obviously older than any known civilization in Mexico. And that's where all these pieces come from, by the way, Cerro de Toro in Jalisco, Mexico. Not Otzlan, but what's more interesting than the same dates coming up across the collection on the inclusions is the fact that the adhesive used to bond pieces that were not formed together also dates to about the same time. The adhesive is made of what appears to be a plant resin for the base and other things added, like aluminum, calcium, and silicon. Now, this does seem pretty compelling. I mean, the difficulty of getting the same date on faking the organics in the artifacts and in the glue itself does seem pretty complicated. But that's not as compelling as the next bit of evidence. That one, to me, is pretty complicated. And that's the presence of paramineralized roots throughout the pieces. Now, these are roots that have begun to fossilize, with the minerals rapidly building up after the roots have invaded every nook and cranny of these artifacts. Trevor claims this anyway, and the evidence he provides does seem very much in line with what we should expect to see. And just like I warned you, in order to properly evaluate this stuff, we have to do some book learning, in this case, permineralized roots, so strap yourself in. When things like capillaries or blood vessels or root structures or other hollow areas in a once living organism starts to fossilize from the inside out, the process is called permineralization. And this is how most formerly living things begin to fossilize. Now, the speed at which this will happen on a small scale, like microscopic root structures, varies drastically based on the environment. Roots near a hot springs, for example, an area with lots of minerals in the water, will quickly mineralize after the death of that plant. And while this does mean it is hard to date these artifacts without carbon dating the roots, which obviously can't be done as they are now fossilized, the artifacts are filled with these roots. Tons of tiny holes all over the pieces, anywhere the roots could perceivably reach, well, they did. This means the root structures had to grow for a while, and then they had to mineralize. This does mean that if they were dug up and found from where they claim to have been found, they would have been in the ground for a very long time. And while there is photograph and video evidence of these pieces being pulled out of the ground at Cerro del Toro, there has been no archaeology done at the site that I'm aware of, and that is a bit problematic. I mean, we need people that are not just concerned with the artifacts and the looting and the treasure hunting. We need people that are concerned with, you know, the weighing and the stratigraphizing and all the carbon ozonide and dating and stuff. I mean, I know we're getting some of that here, but, well, for example, this place is supposed to be a time capsule, like a place where they hid their stuff from the Spanish about 500 years ago, right? And so that's a big deal. As far as why we wouldn't find trash, right? If you're going to go hide your artifacts from some occupying force, you're not going to go eat your lunch there and leave the bag right there. You're going to go do that somewhere else so they don't look where you just buried the stuff. That makes sense. But we still could use somebody there sifting, looking for something. At any rate, the lack of it is definitely going to hurt the legitimacy of these in the eyes of the public, and I can understand why. I mean, just somebody out there sifting the screen is always a big deal. You guys have heard me talk about this with Gnon Padang. That hasn't changed. Yes, that would be me advocating for archaeology. Just because I don't think it qualifies as a proper science does not mean that I don't think that it has its value. Come on, man. Let's not be crazy here. Now, all right, before we dive further into the paper, let's take a look at the inscriptions for a minute. Now, not only are these alien in appearance, they bear clear old world iconography from what's supposed to be a new world artifact. Egyptian and Assyrian iconography is everywhere, and the inclusion of grays, that's communion aliens to us old timers, means these are popular in the ancient aliens crowd. At least some of the people in the ancient aliens crowds are into them. Now, DNA also seems to be depicted, as do planets, flying saucers, stars, planetary rings, and much more. Basically, if you aren't willing to entertain the idea of ancient aliens, then these really aren't for you. But wait, there's more. There's a strange luminescence phenomena that I witnessed firsthand at Mike's place. If you shine certain wavelengths of UV light on some of these pieces, some parts of these pieces will reflect back a different color, kind of a greenish hue. Really weird, really uncanny, and in order to cover this, once again, we got to look into some sciencey stuff. In this case, we'll discuss carbon quantum dots. Discovered in 2004, carbon quantum dots, or CQDs, are a strange little nanoparticle that, like the geopolymers the artifacts containing these are made of, have uses that are still being discovered today. These nanoparticles could not have been discovered without higher technology. The ability to work on a microscopic scale with accuracy is imperative. So this is smoking gun evidence that whoever made the Atlan collection, or at least the pieces that have these CQDs in them, had access to higher technology, at least technology on the same level that we do today. So that to me makes me more skeptical. For those of you who know me, I'm like, but I will point out that these do have the ability to conduct electricity. These can also be used in all kinds of applications that we're still learning. I mean, a great example is that sometimes they'll just feed you these and then like shine a different wavelength of light through your body to like track where your blood's going and stuff like this. And it's not very complicated. Well, I guess they'd shoot those in your bloodstream, right? But you get what I'm saying. They use these to track stuff going through your body. They use these for all kinds of things because they're non-toxic. They're not damaging from anything that we know about right now. And they're pretty, they're not cheap, but they're not ridiculously expensive, so much so that they preclude like a medical use. Now, there are some of them that are really expensive that have a higher technology use, and that would be worth evaluating whether or not the ones in the collection are the cheapest ones, or you could probably even figure out where they were made potentially, right? But, you know, there's another glow that's coming off of these artifacts, another little strange glow, the kind that Snake Eyes had in the G.I. Joe days, for those of you who are old like me. He just burned his suit and got rid of it, though. Good old-fashioned radiation, the kind your mama warned you about. In this case, we got 238, uranium-238, and not a lot of it, but enough there that you can detect it. It is degenerating. Why it's there, we don't know for sure. But, you know, with this and with all the other stuff we've mentioned, we really have an interesting set of attributes that these artifacts are sporting. Dated to be 8,400 years old, made of a geopolymer that uses chemicals, not heat, to harden, a geopolymer that forms a hard surface enamel as it cures and looks to have been carved during the curing process some of the time. It's made of compounds like iron that are not normally found in geopolymers. The organics in the geopolymers themselves and the glues used to bind the pieces together all date to around the same time. The pieces include carbon quantum dots, something we only discovered in the last 20 years, and the pieces also include higher concentrations of uranium-238 than we should see, resulting in mild radioactivity that also confirms the cold curing of the pieces. These were filled with fossilized root structures, implying significant age. And, of course, the pieces depict the obvious references to human-alien contact and other extraterrestrial-related iconography. Additionally, some pieces are uniform in manufacture, while others vary wildly. Some inclusions are obvious to the naked eye, and others are not. Now, there's some other details that I could mention, but these are the big ones. But let's go ahead and put our skeptic's hat on for a minute and look at the different things in order. So, first, if we look at the carbon dating, I guess it's hypothetically possible that you could use the same tree sap. I mean, maybe as in the organics in the thing, if you had 8,400-year-old tree sap, but I think that would be an amber or something at this point. It's kind of a tricky little thing there. That's where one of the real main problems with the paper that even supplants all of that comes up is it hasn't been peer-reviewed or replicated. And I understand that in cases like this, I mean, it says aliens in the fucking title, it's going to have problems getting peer reviewed. I get that. But some amount of replicability here is paramount because we're taking one guy's word for it, which is kind of the antithesis of science, right? But this is all the data we have right now. So, you know, taking it with a grain of salt. And the first thing that would come up, again, would be that tree sap. And that's the only thing I could really think of. If you've got tree sap as the base for your glue, perhaps you could have 8,600-year-old tree sap that you used to fake the glue and used to fake when you made the artifacts. Seems kind of a far stretch, but seems hypothetically maybe possible. And next is the enamel, which I think is a fun one. Like I said, this is entirely within the realm of possibility, just like cheese forms a rind, right? And I think this would be of a lot of interest to modern researchers since this does seem to be a novel geopolymer recipe. And, you know, geopolymers are only about 50 years old. We're still learning a lot of the different applications for them. So, personally, I think this is a pretty wild one. Now, when it comes to the stylist side of it, like I said earlier, it does make sense. There is two sets of evidence. You do see evidence for it being carved. While it was wet, like it does show those raised lips, but it also shows edges where it looks like it was torn and carved while it was dry. And honestly, this would make sense. I mean, to be again, being the skeptical side of things here, I mean, if you have these really cool artifacts that already kind of lean towards the ancient aliens thing, man, just, you know, carve a little bit more, add a gray here, add a UFO there, add a moon there, and next thing you know, that thing's even cooler, right? So, that's a possibility that I think the evidence actually lends itself to there, that some of these carvings were done after the fact, which again, some replicability, somebody else in there taking these things seriously. He doesn't have to take the implications seriously. And again, I look at the engravings and I'm like, holy crap, man, come on. But at nothing else so far, we've stumbled onto a new geopolymer recipe. So maybe it's worth, like, you know, not just throwing out the baby with the bathwater and actually rolling up our sleeves and looking. I know it's crazy. I know it's a nutso thing to be like, I'm going to look into this artifact without just saying I'm going to debunk it or I'm going to prove it. Maybe just evaluate the evidence. Fucking crazy. I know. I'm sorry. I'll try not to be so profound in my next little segment here. As for the carbon quantum dots, that, holy shit, this is cool. I mean, you know, these aren't cheap. So, even assuming that these are hoaxes, if, like, again, putting on our skeptic hat, it's still really interesting because these aren't cheap. Now, Mike, I assume, and other people are paying a lot for these artifacts. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't ask anybody what they pay for them, but I do know that customs can be hell of expensive. I did get an idea on that, and whoa. So, you know, it would be fun to see where these carbon quantum dots were sourced from. We see if we could find out where the carbon came from and all this kind of stuff. It would be really interesting to do some more research. Like I keep saying, we need some replicability here. We need another set of eyeballs on this. And the radiation? Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that, like, if you were going to mass produce these things, then it would be pretty dangerous to have, like, a bunch of little whatever smoke detector batteries or whatever the hell you have laying around that you're sourcing your radiation from, because the alphabet boys are eventually going to notice you from space, right? But yeah, I mean, it's hypothetically feasible to, you know, be able to incorporate the radiation, you know, but it's kind of a weird thing to put in your art studio. But I mean, if you're trying to forge these and to make them as alien as possible, I could see why you would add a little glowing in the dark there. But again, it's the kind of thing that we can, more work needs to be done on these. These can, I don't think it would be too difficult for us to get to the bottom of a lot of this stuff. Finally, we have the permineralized roots throughout the artifacts, and this one would be pretty hard to fake. I mean, so you'd have to make your artifact, bury it at a place where there's high concentration of these minerals in the water, like a hot springs. Let them grow for a few years so that you get minerals growing throughout these things. Then let the plants die, let them suck up all these minerals that were already in them and stuff and start to fossilize. Then you dig them up and rebury them somewhere else and let them get covered in roots for the video when you pull them out of the ground. This starts to get pretty complicated. It starts to look like the hoaxing process requires a lot of, you know, I mean, you had to come up with a whole new geopolymer recipe, and you had to buy all these carbon quantum dots and come up with some radiation and bury them all these different places. And pretty soon, as it gets to be like something that's taken 10, 15 years, which starts to seem kind of improbable. So does this make me a true believer? Well, hardly. I mean, the first, we have the engravings, which, let's be frank, the uncanniness and the dead on the nose accuracy of these coinciding with the whole Zachariah Stitchin stuff. This is too uncanny. It's, for me, it delegitimizes these in a lot of ways and makes them a lot harder to take seriously. I'm sorry, Mike, not trying to be a dick. I told you this to begin with. It's like if you're looking for Jesus's tomb and then you find a tomb that's got a sign on the wall that says Inri. It's just like, okay, dude, this is a little too on the nose. So there's that one to begin with. The next one is there's some of these pieces are so, like, look at this one here. It's this little spaceship thing, and it's got like action figures and stuff with it, like little statues. And, you know, if I go on eBay and I look for Optimus Prime and I'm looking or another action figure from my youth and I try to find one that's got all their parts, man, I have to pay real money. It's hard. And like this one shows up in the record without it being all busted. We should see 20 busted pieces to go along with the one that survived. And, you know, I know these were hidden from the Spanish for 500 years, but that still is like 7,900 years that they weren't hidden from the Spanish. And even if they were like venerated in a temple and stuff, it's like ancient Egypt. We have one Senate board game left in the record that's complete. And there's like 16 or something that are in the record that are incomplete. This is generally speaking the way these kinds of things happen. You find massive amounts of partials and one or two complete pieces. So the fact that so many of these pieces pop up like intact and good working order and so beautiful makes me skeptical of the legitimacy of a lot of these pieces. Now, in addition to that, almost none of these have a practical function. I mean, normally, if you go to look at artifacts at a place or just look around your own house, you'll find that most things have some practical function. Now, you can argue that there's a technological function that some of these things we don't identify. I mean, you could look at my shelf and make the same argument, right? But that's, you know, we don't know for sure that. And again, we need more work done. But, you know, we don't see anything like, I don't see anything there like the trash, like I was saying earlier, or just regular artifacts, just regular things that we would see in normal day-to-day use. And that is kind of a big deal to me. I think it's kind of a big deal to anybody who looks into that sort of stuff that you should find the mundane alongside the fantastic. This is, look around anybody, even the richest homes in the world, go to the Louvre and you're going to find a Butterfinger wrapper in the garbage can. You'll have a garbage can and a Butterfinger wrapper and a trash can liner too. It's crazy how much mundane you'll find next to those fancy paintings. So do I think they're hoaxes then? Well, not exactly. I think some of these are probably legit. I think that what's happening here is that some of these are being recarved. Like I said, like some of them are being etched and that their engravings are being used to make them more elaborate. I think maybe that the recipe has been figured out by some people and that they're faking them, and perhaps that those ones are not the ones being carbon dated. That would be really why we need more work done. I do think that some of these pieces are legit, but I think we need to establish a baseline. That's really where we'd need more people to come in there and just kind of like establish a baseline on where these pieces are being mass produced for the tourists, the souvenir type of stuff, and where these pieces are not. Because, like, I mean, we got a chessboard, all right? I'm hard pressed to believe that a chessboard that's not missing any pieces after thousands of years exists. Especially in the New World. But I am not hard pressed to believe that some of these stone little carvings and stuff exist. Some of these are all too entirely within the realm of possibility. And the fact that they're all mingled together, I do. Anyway, we need more work done, boys. And that's where I really think it's important for us to not throw the baby out with the bathwater on this kind of stuff. I mean, at the very least, like I've said, we've got a new recipe for geopolymers here that's worth looking into. We maybe have some new applications for this stuff that's worth looking into. Maybe some new ways of people forging artifacts, if nothing else, that would be worth finding out. I mean, let's be very clear about something here. Whenever a hypothesis is posited, if it is borne out scientifically, scientific data is gained. Net positive for all of humanity. If the scientists that debunk it don't properly evaluate it, if they just throw a rock at it and say, this isn't worth wasting my time on, they waste their actual possible, like they piss away the opportunity to learn, to educate the masses about something they don't even know yet. Doing research data doesn't need to come out with the positive outcome for a hypothesis to still be research data. So, anyway, try looking at these things a little bit more of an open mind as best as you can, even if the carvings on them look so outlandish as to cause you to knee-jerk quickly into the "Are you fucking kidding me?" camp. And with that, I want to say thank you very much to Mike for reaching out to me about this. And I always do like money as well, so thanks so much for that. Shameless plug. If you're trying to get me to research your thing and you're like just dying for me to get to the top of the list and I'm not, I've expressed like mild interest, I do like money. And anyway, thanks a lot for everybody else that watches. And I'm going to be in Austin, Texas, the 13th through the 16th of October is for the Quest for Ancient Civilizations conference. It's going to be a big one this time. With any luck, we're going to have a whole shitload of people there, and we're going to be doing Fortnite dances and karaoke and alcohol and all that stuff. And thanks for the Grammarica crew and to Timmy Bush and to Doug for hooking me up as always. And love y'all and hope to see you next time.